The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Kiddushin has been sponsored by our good friend Mr. Haimi Dana, Hashem Shmireu V'Hayehu, in honor of his wife, Dina Bat Rivka. That should have many years of Shalom Bayit, Masechet Kiddushin. And Aslaha, Parnasa, and all good things, health, happiness, Nachat from the children, and all the Berachot. Amen.
Today's daf is being studied in the Shmat Muruzekini, Yosef Ben Sarah, and Maran Zekana, Yafa Batzara. Abraham Ben Esther, Hashem Ten Hamigan Eden, Amen. Today's daf is being studied for Hashem, Moshe Ben Dina, Sarah, Muhammad Batah, Sarah Batah, and Nafar Lahim, and Nafar Nefesh, Fatu Fatun, Kerabad of Vikini, Rasom and Omar. And we begin today's daf on Yudbet, Amudbet, and we start. 7 lines at the bottom, starting with Amar Rava. We're in the sugya over here of a case that we learned earlier of a fellow that made the kiddushin with a pile of hadassim. The Gemara called it the sifta de asa. So what happened was the Gemara said that there wasn't shave piruta in the hadassim. The lady accepted it already. So the guy told the lady, after there's 4 zoos that are hidden underneath the hadassim, be mikudeshit with the 4 zoos that are in the under the hadassim. So what happened? She kept quiet. So Rava came along and said, no, that's no good, because that's a shitika after the fact that the kiddushin were given, and a shitikuta after the kiddushin are given is not considered valid. Why? It's as if the lady saying, I'm not taking this as a kiddushin. You gave it to me as a kiddushin for the hadas. The hadas does not have the value. Now, after you give it to me, you want to say that there's 4 zuz even there? Ashtikuta, as if to say, take it back, I'm not interested. So now the Gemara says, Amar Rava, mina amina la. How do I know that? That a shitikuta, or that a shitika, we should say, after the fact that it's given, is not considered anything. So the Tanya, because we have a brighter, Amar La, a guy tells a lady, can see Selazu bifikadon. Take the Selazu as a pikadon, as a collateral. The Hazar va Amar La, after she gets it in her hand, he comes along and says, it kadshi li bo. Right? I want that to be the kiddushin. Bishat matan ma'ot, if he says it before he gave the money, mikudesh it. Lehar matan ma'ot, after he gave the money, as a pikadon. Then he comes along and says, Areyat mikudeshet libezeh. So the Gemara makes a hiduk. Ratzta mikudeshet. If she wanted, it's mikudeshet. Lo ratzta, ena mikudeshet. If she doesn't want, it's not mikudeshet. So Gemara asks, my ratzta or my lo ratzta? What does it mean she wants, she doesn't want? Ili ma ratzta de amra'in. Maybe ratzta means where she said, yes, which means the guy's mikadesh her, right? Areyat mikudeshet libezeh. First he gives her a pikadon. And before he gave it to her, he comes along and says, no, I want to give it to you as a kiddushin. And she comes along and says, in, okay, fine. And lo ratzta, in the case of lo ratzta means what? De amra lo. Where she said, no. Oh, michlal deresha. So it must be that in the first case where she accepted it already, ki amra lo name ave kiddushin. Which means, are you going to tell me that in the case over there, where she said, no, are you going to tell me that it is a kiddushin? Which means the Gemara's question is like this. We have 2 cases in the Braita. Let's review the 2 cases. Is it a Braita? It is.
It's
a Braita. Yeah, the Tanya is a Braita. The first case is, can see Selah Zebe Pikadon. Gives it as a Pikadon, and then he comes along and changes his tune, and he says, it's Kachidi Bo. I want you to use as a kiddushin. So the first case of the Braita was said, what? If it's at the time of the matan ma'ot, so it's okay. Which is at the time that he's giving it, if he changes before she got it, that's okay. La'achar matan ma'ot, but after already, she got it already, so then the braita made a chiduk. The Gemara braita said, ratzta in, lo ratzta lo. How do we explain ratzta? If she said yes, then it's okay. If she said no, so then it's not okay. So the Gemara makes a diyuk. Only in the sefa, there's a chiduk din ratzta and lo ratzta. But it's mashma, that before he gave it, even if she said no, it'll be okay. Is that possible? Which is you're making the chaluk of ratzta, no ratzta, only after she received it. Mashma, before she received it, there's no chaluk. Does that make sense? that if a guy comes along and says, can see the Picadonze, then he comes along and says, Haret Mikudeshini Bezeh, and she says, no. You're going to tell me still she's Mikudeshini, even though she said no? Makes no sense. Ki Amini the top line of the Gemara, Ki Amra, no. Nameh Havi Kiddushin? That she says, but Miha. Amai, Vaka Amra, no. She said no. Ela, that must be the case like this. Ratzta, you know what the case of Ratzta is? De Amra'in, lo Ratzta de Ishtika, Mishatka. Which means the case over there is where she received it already. So if the guy changes his tune and says, Harat Mikudeshiti Bazeh, if she says no, that's lo Ratzta, then already it's considered not Mikudeshit. And what's the case of considered, I'm sorry, the case of Ratzta is she said, I'm sorry, in. She said, yes, I want it. That's Mikudeshit. What's the case of Lo Ratzta? Where she kept quiet. Deshtaka mishtaka ushma minna. So what do we learn from here? That shetika d'lachar matan ma'ot ve'lo kelumhi. Which is when she makes a shetika after she receives the money, it's nothing. Oh, mashma wat. That if she made a shetika before she received the money, that would be okay. So therefore, good. So the bright that works out fine. Shetika before matan ma'od is considered that she's agreeing that she wants to accept the kiddushin. But after she already accepted the kiddushin, in her hand she accepted it as a pekadon. Now the guy comes along and says, it's kachili bo, and she keeps quiet. No good. So you see why the shetika after the kabbalah is not good. So comes the Gemara and says, kashuba befum nara mishemed ravuna bered rabbi Yoshua. So, in the name of Rabbi Yoshua, or Rav Huna ben Rabbi Yoshua, he had a question on this. You want to bring a proof from this case of where a guy gives a kiddushin for the sake of a pikadon, and then after she gets it, she keeps quiet, and you want to tell me it's no good, and you want to compare that to a case where a guy gave a hadas l'shem kiddushin, and she accepted it l'shem kiddushin, and it just wasn't a Shavit Peruta, so he's, oh no, I mean the four zoos that are inside. And you want to say that when she keeps quiet, that's equal to the Pekadon case, and therefore it's not going to be Mikudeshet. Rav Huna finds a difference between the two cases. Midame, is the Hadas case similar to the Pekadon case? Hatam betorat Pekadon yehavinu nihala. Here she got the Kiddushin, not Lishim Kiddushin. She got it for the sake of a Pekadon. Savra. She thought, Ishadina lehu umitbere. She thought if she's going to throw the kiddushin back in his face and the kiddushin is going to break, mehaibana behu. She thought she's going to be mehoyevet. That's why we can say her silence is considered a rejection. Because normally, how do you reject something? You throw it back in the guy's face. The only reason why she didn't throw it back in his face in this case, so because originally she got it as a picadon. So she's scared to throw it in his face because what's going to happen? It might break. And she's going to be responsible to pay. So in such a case, we can consider her silence as a rejection because that's the only way she can show her rejection. Throwing it in her brain is not an option because she's scared if she throws it and breaks the kiddushin, she's going to be on the hook to pay. However, haha, b'torat kiddushin yavinu nihada. But in the case of the hadas, she got it for the sake of kiddushin. If she really wasn't interested in the kiddushin, lishdinhu, let her throw it back. And she's not going to be worried about the mamonot, she's not going to be worried about the nizik, because she got it as the sake of the kiddushin. So therefore, by her keeping quiet, we should interpret that as what? As an acceptance. Which means the silence in the case of the hadash should be interpreted as she wants, because otherwise, if she wanted to show rejection, she would have thrown it. She can't throw it in the case of the Picadon. Because in the Picadon case, she's scared if she throws it and it breaks, she's going to have to pay. Mashiach, in this case over here, I think about the silence should be considered as an acceptance. So therefore, the Gemara has a question, and therefore the Gemara says there's no equivalency in the case. Tariq Rav Ahai. So Rav Ahai asks on this chiluk that Rav Huna, Rav Huna ben Yoshua make. Atu kullehu neshe dinah gemiri? What are you talking? You think all the ladies know all the halakot? You're telling me that she didn't throw it by the case of the pikadon because she's scared that if she throws it, she's going to be hayab? What are you giving them so much credit for? You think she knows all the halakot? I'll tell you by the case of kiddushin as well. You know why she didn't throw it? Which means she don't know the laws of anything. Therefore, could be this lady thinks even by the case of the hadas, that if she throws it and it breaks, she's going to be chayevet. So therefore, you cannot interpret the fact that she didn't throw it as an indication that she accepted it. Could be she doesn't know the law between a pikadon, between a kiddushin. So to her, it's never an option when she doesn't want to throw it back. Because she's concerned if it breaks, she might be chayevet. Therefore, shitika should be interpreted as what? As a rejection. Because if she wanted it, she would have said in. She would have said yes. But the fact that she's kept quiet, that's if she's saying, I'm not interested. Why did she throw it? Because she doesn't know. She just doesn't throw it. She doesn't want it to break. She doesn't want it to pay. So now they sent for the halakha. They sent in front of Rabina. Ki hai gavna mai. Okay, bottom line. If in this case somebody gets mikudeshit, what's the deen? Meaning, he gave her hadas. There wasn't a shaveh peruta in the hadas. And then she accepted it. And then what? There was zuz underneath the hadasim. Right? And then he tells her, after she accepted it, be mikudeshit. And then she kept quiet. In this case, what's the deen? Shalach anan lo shami alan had ravuna b'derav Yoshua. Listen, we never heard this hiluk of Ravuna in the name of Yeshua that wanted to say that if she didn't throw it in his face, that means she's accepting it. Atun the shami alechu. But you guys, you heard this sevara of Ravuna b'derav Yoshua. Hushuda. You have to suspect and you have to be choshes that maybe it is indeed a kiddushi because she didn't throw it. And therefore, you have to give her a get, misafik. We don't go with that sevara of Ravuna b'derav Yoshua. You heard it? Okay, you heard it. If we have to be choshes to that, sevara. Comes the Gemara and continues. Hahi itita. There's a lady. Dehava kamizabna varshiche. What is varshiche?
Silk ribbons.
Okay, that's the way that she explains it as well. Varshiche. Bindulush. Okay, that's the way he explains it. Atau gavra, so a guy comes along, hataf varshecha mina. He snatched the varshecha from her. Amra le, so she tells him, hava nihali, give it to me. Amar la iya avin alich, if I give it back to you, mikudeshitli, will you be mikudeshitli? So it's her stuff that he stole. Now he's threatening her. You want it back? Be mekudesh me with these items. Sheklate, she took it, the ishtika, and she kept quiet. So now the question is, how do you interpret this? Amar of Nachman, yechola lememar, she could come along and say, in, shekli vididi shekli. Yes, I took it, and I took back my own stuff. And therefore, just because I took it back, I didn't say anything. It's not that I accepted it as a kiddushin. I'm just recovering my own items. Oh, so comes the Gemara and says, Etive Rava. Right, so Rava asked a question on this. Rav Nachman. Kiddisha begazel ubehamas ubegineva. The guy is mekadesh a lady with all sorts of robbery, which means stolen goods. Or shechatav sela miyada, or he grabbed a sela out of a hand, the kiddisha, and he gave her it as a kiddushin. So the deed is mikudeshet. So you see what? That you can be mikadesh a lady with stolen goods. And she accepts it. So the same thing over here. He took the varshiche from her, gave it back to the shim kiddushin. She accepted it. The chaura, it should be good. Mikudeshet begizin. What's the problem? The brayta said, even if he took a sela from her hand, and gave it back to the Shem Kiddushin, it works. So why'd you tell me in the case of the Varsheche, you told me that Nachman that she could say, no, in the Dishakalt, I took my own item. So comes the Gemara and says, nah, big difference. Hatam Bedishadich. The case over there when he was Mekadesha with her stuff, it's talking about where they had already Shidduchin already. Which means there was an agreement that they were going to get married already. They were talking and they had the Kiddushin. They went out. They had a connection. So now it's such a case where already there's a connection between them, the Shidduchim, and he takes the item away from her and gives it back and she accepts it. In such a case, we're going to say that what? That it's because, but Stam a guy, he goes to a lady, grabs something out of her hand, and then Sergio, I don't mikudesh me with the item. If I give it to you back, she has no connection to this guy. Right. Therefore, by accepting it back, all she did was recovering. Hold on. So there's a haluk between if there was a shidduch or no shidduch. So the Gemara says, umina timra, How do you know? Deshan ilan ben shadich udlo shadich. How do you know there's a haluk? You're making this haluk over here to answer up the braita. Who told you there's such a haluk between shadich and lo shadich? The Tanya, because we have a braita. The braita says like this. Amar lai tells the lady, can see selazu she'ani hayav lichi. Right? Take this selah that I owe you. The chazar ve'amar leitkadshi libo. And then he comes along and says, I want it to be used as kiddushin. So the braita makes a chiduk. B'sh'at matan ma'ot. If before he gave it, which means he said, hitkadshi libo, before she actually took it. So what's the chiduk? Ratzta mikudeshet. Lo ratzta ena mikudeshet. And it's chiduk between ratzta and lo ratzta. However, lachar matan ma'ot. After already she received it, then he says, oh, I have mikudeshet di, afilu ratzta ena mikudeshet. Even if she accepted, ratzta ena mikudeshet. Then the Gemara explains, my ratzta, or my lo ratzta, what is this ratzta, lo ratzta? Ilema, maybe you'll tell me like this, ratzta de amra in. Ratzta means what she said, yes. Lo ratzta de amra lo. And lo ratzta means what? Well, she said, no, that's the way you want to explain it. I don't want to be mikudeshet to you. Oh, so we make a haluk. Only if she said no, beferush, then it's not a kiddushin. Ha ishtika, havu kiddushin. Oh, that's Masra Wad, that if she kept quiet, so quiet would be considered kiddushin. The only time it's a rejection, when she actually says straight out, no. The Gemara says, v'nitni mikudeshet stam, kihatam. So if that's the case, so the Tana should just write over here, mikudeshet, stam, which means, and then we would know that what? Mikudeshet means if she kept quiet, and the only way it'll be not a mikudeshet if she rejects. What's the Gemara's question? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Nema. See Rashi? Nema mikudeshet stam. Which means, in the case over here, that you're telling me in this braita, that if she gives her an item and says, take back what I owe you, and then he comes along and says, and you're telling me that what? That before he gives it to her, so we make a chiduk between ratzta and lo ratzta. And how do you want to learn ratzta? Ratzta says, in, and lo ratzta means no. So the Gemara says, oh, you're implying that, what, that if she kept quiet, it is going to be mikudeshet. Nema rashi mikudeshet stam. Velo etzterich lefluge v'lemari. You would not have to mechalek and say, dechi amra lo ena mikudeshet. Sheafi ketanim yodaim bo. Which means, well, you have to tell me when she says no, that she's not going to be mikudeshet. Every child knows that already. All you have to tell me is what? All you have to tell me is mikudeshet. Right? And I'll know that what? Mikudeshet means if she accepted it. And if she didn't accept it, I know automatically it's not. Kiatam. What's that she kiatam? Kedetana be'ahu dele'el bish'at matan ma'ot mikudeshet. In the last braita, we had a similar language. That was the case over there where he gave her a picadon. And he told her, here's the picadon. And then she accepted it or at the time of the giving it. And what did the braita say? The language of the braita was, Bishat matan ma'ot mikudeshet. At the time of the giving, it's mikudeshet. So that's what it said. And we understand what that means. If she accepted it, it's mikudeshet. If she rejected it, it's not. If you're telling me that it's a ratzta, lo ratzta is yes and no, just tell me mikudeshet. And I know automatically it's a case where she said yes. You have to tell me, wait, lo ratzta? Everybody knows lo ratzta. Every child knows that if she says no, I'm not accepting it. I need you to tell me that case. Ela ratzta de amra'im. You know what the case must be talking about? Ratzta is when she says yes. But you know what the hadush is? Lo ratzta de ishtika. Lo ratzta, the case is talking about where she kept quiet. Oh, vekatani te'ena mikudeshet. And what? What do we say? That when she keeps quiet, she's not mikudeshet. Why? My tama yichola lememar. In shakli, yes, I took it. Vididi shakli. Which means, in the case where the guy said, take back what I owe you. Good? And before she actually took it, what does the braita say? Well, ratzta in. Meaning she said, okay, I'll take it. Mikudeshet with me, I'll take it. Lo ratzta means what?
She was quiet.
She was quiet. Oh, she was quiet in a mikudeshet. What do you mean? What's the logic? She was quiet because she can come back and say, yes, I kept quiet and I took it. You know why I took it? Because you owe it to me. I didn't take it as a kiddushin. So what do you see? You see that a shetikuta on something that's owed to her, ena mikudesh. So the Gemara says, Vela kasha hach tekitcha begezlu behamas or begeneva or shatav sila miyadav vekitcha mikudeshet. But what do you mean? We have a bride that clearly says if you mikudesh a lady with her stuff was stolen, so it is mikudeshet. So now we have a stira on the bride. One bride does masra, she can keep quiet and say, I just took back my own stuff. The other bride says, well, you can mikudesh with her own stuff, and she keeps quiet, and it is mikudeshet. How you answer it? Ela lav shmat mina ha de shadich. You can give the haluk that we made. Must be the case where he said, is mekudeshet? It's talking about where they were. There was a connection between them already. They were talking about kiddushin already. They were talking about getting married. Then he comes along and tells her, oh, by the way, this item that I owe you, accept it as a kiddushin. She kept quiet. Since they were talking in the parasha of kiddushin already, the shadich, mekudeshet. The other case is Tam. A guy goes and grabs something out of a lady's hand, the silk, the varshiche, yeah, and then comes along and says, oh, be mikodesh, I'll give it to you back. She kept quiet. In that case, I don't know who you are. Lo shadich. And therefore she come along and say, "Im shakle, I took it. But then he shakle, I took my own stuff. So that's the haluk we're giving between shadich and lo shadich.
Gemara continues. Adur yetbe. The rabbis continued. They were sitting. They were analyzing the statements of Rav Aseh. That's what we're discussing. The Ka'amre Haditnan, that what it says in the Mishnah, Aisha Sheviya Hatata Umeta, a lady that gave birth. According to the Torah, a lady that gives birth, she has to bring korbanot after a certain amount of days. So she has to bring a korban hatat, and she has to bring a korban ola. So she brought a korban hatat, and then what happened? She died. Yaviu Yurshin Olata. So the inheritors of her estate, of her assets, they bring for her the Korban Ola that she owes. This can only be a discussion by Korban Ola. The law is by a Korban Khatat Shemetu Be'aleha, by Korban Khatat where the owners died, even if she's designated the Korban Khatat, doesn't matter. It's Meta, you let the animal just die. But by Korban Ola, there's an option that even though she died, the Yorshim, the inheritors, will bring the Korban Ola for her. Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Vehu Shefrishata Mehayim. It's only talking about where she designated the Korban Ola already when she was alive. So the animal was designated, or the bird actually was designated, and then she died. Abal, Do Frishata Mehayim, Lo. But if she didn't designate it when she was still alive, it's not on the inheritors to bring the Qurban. So what do you learn from here? The Gemara says, Alma kasabar, shi'buda lav de'uraita. Must be that minat Torah, when a person owes something, for example, in this case, the lady owes an ola. So we don't say minat Torah that debt that's owed is put leaned on the a property, and therefore it's on them to bring it. Say no, the sharbud of what she owes does not go on the yirusha, and therefore it's not incumbent upon the minat Torah at least to bring the korban. Once it's not incumbent upon the minat Torah, they're not bringing the korban. There's no sharbud minat Torah. Look at the way that she learns it. Look at the third line. Vehu Shefrishata mehayim. As long as she designated it when it was still alive, when she was still alive. Vashmi'ina dekereba leharmita. Right, the hadush is that you can bring a korban ola after death. Ava lo efrishata lo ashmi'ina tana lachuf et yurshin lakriba. Which means if she did not bring it or designate it when she was alive, we're not going to force the yurshim now to make good on what the mother owes. Shelon nethayibu anechasim. Right, the assets are not obligated. Kasavad, ha da'amura bana nichsim mishtabe de al chova mutal alamit. Take a regular case. A dead guy owes money. It's the regular case. So we're not going to say that a guy owes money, that he died. So we're not going to say that debt now becomes mishubad onto the Yorshim's assets, that they have to make good on it.
or let's say on property that he sold, for example, we're not going to say that once he dies, so now already the assets that were sold have a shribud on it. We're not going to say that a person's assets are like a guarantor for him. No, once he dies, the shibud goes off. Now, it's like a regular case of melveh al peh. When a person, let's say, lends money al peh, without a shtar, what's the law? There's no shibud on the karka. There's no shibud under the kasim. A person that says, he lends money, there's no shtar, no nothing. So what's the law? You can't go after his properties that he sold. You can't go after his assets because you didn't make a shtar. Umalveh shel shtar shavim. No, if a person that says malveh with a shtar, ela malveh b'shtar shu she'bedo dechtiv le nechse acharayin nak mishtabedeh malveh al peh lo mishtabedeh. Of course, if he writes a shtar and he writes in the shtar, my assets are going to be mishubat to you if I don't pay you, then of course, according to what's written in the shtar, we're not talking about a malveh al shtar. We're talking about over here, a regular case over here, a guy, so let's go back to our case. So a lady over here was obligated, she has a chov. Who's Achov to Tremet HaMikdash? She owes a Korban Ola. Mina Torah, when she dies, that Chov does not transfer now to the Yorshim. That's why the Yorshim don't have to make good on it. They don't have to bring the Korban Ola. But if she designated it already, Mechayim, okay, so it's designated already. So therefore it's earmarked. Once it's earmarked, then already, of course, the Yorshim would have to bring it. Now, let's get to Rav Asir's statement, because this is what we're doing. We're trying to understand Rav Asir's statements. Amar Rav Asir, Amar Rav Yohanan. Even though they weren't mafrish at mechayim, she didn't mafrish to korban ola, the yorshim have to bring it. So what do you see from Rav Asir? Alma kasavar she'buda hava deoraita. That yes, indeed, the she'bud is deoraita. When you owe something, that obligation is mishubad, is now transferred to the yorshim, and now it's incumbent upon them to bring it. Right, that's the Hadush of Rav Asir. The same thing by a loan. A person owes money, and then he dies, and now that Shi'bud goes to the assets of the Yorshim, and they're going to have to make good on that loan. So the Gemara says, it comes out we have a machloket between Rav Asir over here, and Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So the Gemara says, Ve'a peligi ba chada zimna. We have this machloket already, which means you're giving me a new machloket that we never learned before. Is the shi'bud that falls to the yorshim, is it deoraita, is it not deoraita? So the Gemara says, we have this machloket already. Who argued it? Rav and Shmuel argued it. De Rav Ushmuel, de Amre Tarvayu, malve alpe. That's a case where a guy borrows money alpe without a shtar. He just does it verbally. Ena gove min yorshim. You cannot collect it from the Yorshim, velo min alikuhot, and not from the likuhot, which means if, let's say, the guy that borrowed the money sold properties, you can't go after the properties, which means, this shita is holding what? Malveh al-peh, Rav and Shmuel actually, malveh al-peh, finish, it's verbal, of course they agree if you wrote it in the shtar, that my assets are going to be mishrabad, and of course it's mishrabad, but malveh al-peh, there's no shi'bud. V'Rabbi Yohanan, v'shtakish tamit al-bayu, malveh al-peh, gove ben min ha-yorshin, ben min ha-likuhot. They're all the opposite. Rabbi Yochanan v'Shaki say, malveh al-peh, a guy borrows money verbally. If he doesn't make good on it, you can take it from the yorshin. You don't have the yorshin, you can go after the likuhot. So what do you see? We have a machloket, if a person's debt is mishubad to the yorshin or not. So we have a question. What do you need two mahlokot on the same item? You have a mahloket now between Rav Yehuda and Shmuel and Rav Asir. There's a shabud fall to the Yorshim. Rav Yehuda says it doesn't. Rav Yehuda, Rav Asir says it does. It's the same mahlokot in Rav and Shmuel. So the Gemara says, no, you need both mahlokot. Sericha. Di'itmar beha. Which means, if you only told me this case over here, the case of the second case of Rav and Shmuel, Kamar Shmuel Mishum Delo Malveh Ketuvah Beturai. The case that Shmuel talked about was a regular guy that lent money.
a regular malve. He wasn't obligated to lend the money. There was no chiyuv on him in a Torah to do what he did. He lent money. Oh, you did it al peh? There's no shibud, which means the guy dies now, the guy who you lent the money to, you can't go after the yorshim. That's what he says. Aval behach, but in the case of the korban ola, ema modeh lehu l'Rabbi Yohanan v'Reish Lakish. But the case of the ola is stronger. Because who says that he has to pay this, that she has to bring this korban ola? The Torah demands the korban ola. So maybe when the Torah demands that it can bring korban ola, maybe it even falls to the yorshim. Which means I could argue that Shmuel maybe is only lenient, that a shi'bud does not hal on the yorshim on a voluntary loan. Then the guy goes to his friend, he lends him money. Right? Then the guy dies. In that case over there, you can't go to the yorshim. It's a voluntary loan. But in a case where the debt is on you from the Torah, like the case of the lady that's hayav to bring korban ola, that debt over there, she didn't put on herself. That debt is on her from the Torah. Torah she just bring korban ola. Maybe it will fall to the yorshim. That's why you need both cases. That even in a case where the debt is the oraita, doesn't fall to the yorshim. Now go the other way. If you only told me the first case, the case of the ola, I'll tell you, Rabbi Yohanan was only machmir that the shibud goes to the yorshim because it's the shibud from the Torah, because it's korban ola, Torah prona. But in the case where it's a voluntary one, maybe he agrees to shibud that it doesn't. So that's why you need both cases. So lemaaseh, we have a machloket in two cases. Even in the case where the shibud is not a Torah shibud, Torah put the shibud on you like a korban ola, the law is going to be what? That machloket doesn't fall to the yorshim or not. Let's read some of the she's here. Hapadigi be'had azamna. Hani emorek gufayu. Shmuel v'Rabbi Yohanan. Which means Shmuel and Rabbi Yohanan, they argue this this din over here. You see, because it's the same rabbis, by the way. It was the first rabbi and the first machloket of the Ola was Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, right? And the second rabbi was Rav Aseh Amar Rav Yohanan. So it's not only that we have this machloket twice; we have this machloket with the same rabbis twice. So that's really a question then. Why would the same rabbis argue the same machloket two times? In a govim and a yorshim. What's the logic? In a govim and a yorshim. Now she says the shi'buda lav deoraita. If you hold shi'buda lav deoraita, if you hold the shi'bud means there's a debt on this guy. That does not transfer to the yorshim because shekin min alikuhot. All the more so if it doesn't transfer to the yorshim, it's not going to transfer to fields that he sold. The lover sold the field, right? Then he died. We're not going to say that what. That it goes to the kohot. Aval malveh b'shtar. But again, if he writes it in the shtar, even if he didn't die, by the way, if he didn't die, it doesn't go to the kohot. According to this opinion of it, when you do malveh al peh, verbal loan, you only can get it from the guy himself. If he dies, it doesn't go to the yoshim. If he sold properties, you can't go to the properties and collect. Because he holds a malveh, there's no shi'bud if it's done al peh. But of course, if you wrote it in the shtar, you follow what the shtar says. If the guy says, I am Shabed myself and the Likuhot and all that business, of course, then the Shabud is there. She says that. Aval malve b'shtar, hu atzmo shi'abedo. Dekatav dekol nechasay di'ite haran shtar denan. He wrote it in the shtar. Delav malve ha'ketuvah b'turah. Lo utalav choba me'et ha'melech. Ela me'askeh ma'aseh atzmo. Right. In the case over there, could be they were only lenient because it was a voluntary loan. This is what Galgeng the Gemara is having, right? And Sirichuta. Voluntary loan, in that case, I'll tell you, maybe there's no Shi'bud. Aval behag diyoledet, the mitzvah tamelech ya'aleah. Who's the melech? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God says she has to bring a korban ona, emar hamira kichtuva b'shtar. Maybe I'll treat a Torah obligation as if it's written in a star, and therefore maybe you can go after the yorshim kamash ma'lan, even in that case. Okay. Good. Amara papa, go back to the Gemara. Hilcheta malve alpe gove mina yorshim. Oh, interesting. Malve alpe, guy
verbal loan. He lends the money, they don't write it in the shtar. Halakha says, he dies, you can go to the inheritors. The inheritors have to make good and pay back the debt. Ve'enu govim min alikuhot. But, milveh alpeh, the malveh cannot go to the properties that were sold. Now what's the difference? Why can he go to the yorshim, but he cannot go to likuhot, the properties that were sold? Govim min ayorshim shi'budah de'oraita. Because we hold the halakha, shi'bud is the oraita. And therefore, the debt falls to the yorshim, and therefore they got to make good on it. Ve'enu govim min alikuhot. You know why? Telet lekala. Because there's no rumors, there's no talk, which means when a person is malveh al peh, nobody knows about it. A guy comes to the private guy, malveh al peh, they're in a room together. There's no judges, there's no shtar, there's no papers, no nothing. It's a verbal item. How many people can know about a verbal item? Not too many people. There's no call on a verbal loan, right? Now what's going to happen? Now a guy comes along and he goes, the loveh sells a property. Now, nobody would buy property from the loveh if they knew that there was the guy owes money. Because they know they could take away the field. So therefore, that's why on a malveh bishtar, you can go after the kohot. Because you knew the risk, you bought the field, you knew what you were up against, you knew that the guy owes money, so therefore you put yourself at the risk to buy the field, so you can go after that field. However, when there's no call, so therefore you can't blame the guy who bought the field. On the contrary, in that case, over there, we blame the malveh. Who asked you to lend money without a shtar? You lent money without a shtar? You lost it. Finish. You're not gonna. The cause of the loss was self inflicted. Jeez, the malveh is gonna claim that. Hey, what do you mean? I want to go get to the kohot. He didn't pay me. Sorry. What do you mean? Sorry. He owes me money. How come you didn't make a shtar then? Well, who asked you to make a malveh al peh? The poor kohot, they have no idea that you made this loan. Therefore, they bought fields thinking that everything was clear. So therefore, your shim you can go after, because that's directly like the person himself. The shemut falls down to the yorshim de oraita, but you can't go after the kohot on a malveh al peh because let le kala. As she says, the let le kala, the ihu de afsid an nafshe, right? The malveh caused the loss himself. The afagav the shemudah de oraita. Now you can ask me a question that she's bothered. I thought you just told me shemudah de oraita. Now if the shemud de oraita, the kala, just like it falls to the yorshim. The shabud should go on the kohot. Which means you're telling me that when a person owes money, it goes to his assets. So the chalat should go to the assets that he sold. That she says, Abud Rabbanan takanta lelokeyach telo avayada. The rabbis made a takana that they took the shabud off. She's really been a Torah, you should be allowed to go to the kohot. But the rabbis wanted to protect the lokeyach. So otherwise, what's going to happen? Nobody's going to buy a field anymore. Everybody's going to be scared that what? They're going to buy a field, all of a sudden one day, it's going to be taken away. You're going to ruin the whole business. Nobody's going to want to, you're not going to be able to sell a field to anybody. So then the rabbis came along and said, even though Minat Torah is a shi'bud, ben the yorshim, ben the likuhot, but as a takana, the rabbis came along and they have the ability to take the shi'bud off. And they took it off. And they said it's not on the lekuhot. So somebody asked you, is it shemud deoraita or not? Yes. Ben be yorshim, ben be lekuhot. Yorshim, they kept it. Because no problem. Yorshim have to make good on their father's, what the father owes. But on the lekuhot, rabbis took it off. Why did they take it off? Because again, they didn't want the lekuhot to suffer because they didn't know about it. I didn't know about it. But we agree. If it was a melveh bishtar, and there's rumors, but who knows? Then you can even go after the kohot. Okay, we continue the Gemara. Comes the Gemara and says, okay, back to the Mishnah. V'kona et atzma v'get mitat ha'ba'al. Remember we learned in the Mishnah that a lady that's married can buy herself back in two ways. With a get. It's one way, she could say a divorce paper. Umitat ha-ba'al. Or the death of the husband. So the Gemara says, Bishlama get.
A get, I understand, that frees her, dichtiv.
Dechatav la sefer kiritut. Befinish pasuk de Torah. Write her a sefer kiritut, write her a divorce document, she goes free. Ela mitata ba'al minalan. How do you know that at the time of the death of the husband, she's free to marry? Now, we would take it for granted. What do you mean?
Of course.
But the Gemara doesn't take anything for granted. What's your source that after the death of the husband, that's like a divorce, she can marry, and she's free to marry? So the Gemara says, well, sevarahu. It's just simple logic. Hu asra vehu sharta. I mean, he was the guy that was in the way. He was osed her. And when she's not around anymore, so therefore he frees her, which means he's matira. Why couldn't she marry anybody else? Because of this guy that she was married to. Once he's not here anymore, the logic makes say that why she should be able to marry again to whoever she wants. Who asra, who sharta? So the Gemara says, oh, you want to go with that logic? That logic is not going to hold true. Why? The ha arayot. The asar lehu. The lo share lehu. What's the case of arayot? Let's take a simple case. Your father's wife. Father's wife. She's asur to you, the father's wife? Okay? Let's say the father dies. She's still asur. She's still asur to you. So if you see that what, even though the one that was osir is not there anymore, the arayot remain beisur. Your aunt, your uncle's wife. Okay? The uncle dies. The aunt is still asur. Even though the osir is not there anymore, it's not matir, the wife. So therefore you see what? That logic doesn't hold true always, that if the osir is gone, things become mutar. So that cannot be the reason why that a husband dies. Well, he was the osir, and now he's not there anymore, so therefore she's being mutar. It's not so. You see cases where the osir is not there anymore, and still this isu remains. The daughter-in-law. Same case, daughter-in-law that she brings. Right? The guy's daughter-in-law's asur because of his son. Right? When his son passes away, he's still asur to marry the daughter-in-law. So even though the osir is not here, it's not matir. Those are the cases that she brings. Also, Gemara says, Ela. I'll bring you another proof. Midama rahmana yebama she'en labanim asura. A yebama, a lady had no children. She's asura to marry. Her husband died. She's not allowed to marry anybody except the brother, brother-in-law. Right? This case of yibum. So the Gemara makes a diyuk. Ha yesh labani muteret. She's only asura because she didn't have children. But if she did have children, mashma, she's permissible. So what do you see? Death is matir.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Again, that's just a diyuk we're making. Right? So the Gemara says, v'dilma, maybe I'll tell you the other way. That if she doesn't have children, she's forbidden to everybody. But she's permissible to marry the yabam. Maybe But maybe if she has children, maybe she's asura to everybody. Who told you? Maybe I'll tell you, the hadush of the Torah is when she doesn't have children, she's allowed to marry the yabam. Only that guy. But if she has children, she's asura to everybody. Maybe death is not matir. How do you know? Again, is that a conclusive proof? It's not a conclusive proof. I could argue. Ela, meda amar rahmana, almana le kohen gadol asura. Oh, we know a widow cannot marry a kohen gadol. So we make a diuk. Ha le kohen ediot sharia. Mashba wapa to a regular kohen, mutad. That means what death was, matir. A widow cannot marry a kohen gadol, but kohen ediot, yeah, also you see what? Death is matir. Good?
Yeah.
So comes the Gemara and says, V'dilma le'kohen gadol belav. Maybe I'll tell you what, kohen gadol is isu lo ta'aseh. Le'kule alma be'aseh. And maybe to everybody else, there's isu ta'aseh. The Torah says like this, V'chatav la sefer keritut, V'natam bi'ada. You give her a get, let's say a case of a get. The Yatzeah mibeto, and she leaves that guy's house. Ve'alecha v'ayita li'ish acher. She go gets married to somebody else. Maybe it's only permissible to go to someone else where you got a get. However, we didn't get a get, where it was his death, so maybe it's asur to go somewhere else. Which means, maybe the Torah is coming to say like this, Kohen Gadol cannot marry an almana. Right? And if a Kohen Gadol marries an almana, he gets Yisru Lav. That's Yisru Lo Taseh. Cannot marry an almana. And maybe what? To everybody else, it's going to be Yisru Aseh. Jeez, there won't be Yisru Lav. What will be Yisru Aseh that says what? When the Torah says, V'yatzava, he tell you can go get married. That's only if there was a get. But if there was no get, maybe there's still Yisru Aseh on everybody else. So you have no Ra'aya. Oh, Kohen Gadol Asur, everybody else Muta. No. Maybe everybody else is Yisru on it as well. So the Gemara says, look at the Rashi, by the way, where this Aseh comes from, by the way. They call the Alma be'aseh. The Yatze'ava yeta le'isha achayet al yedei girushin ve'lo ha'yedei mita ve'shedeha le'zu ve'lo la'acheret mashma ve'lav haba nechlal aseh. We have a rule over here, right? The Torah says the only time she can go get married to somebody else is when she got a get. Masma, if she didn't get a get, she can go somewhere else. Meaning, if the husband just died, that's not intent to go somewhere else. So that would be classified under a transgression of an aseh. So you have no ra'aya that death is matir. So the Gemara, what are you talking about? Hay aseh, may avidte. This isur aseh, how does it work over it? Listen, if you tell me that the mita of the Baal works, which means that she could, that mita is matir, tishtere legamre, which means she should be permissible in totality. Idelo ahanya mita tabaal tukma bimilta kamaita, which means, what is this quasi stage over here? If death is matir, it should be matir al legamre. And if it's not matir, she should be considered still eshetish. And therefore, it's not only naseh. She should get the isulav of going to marry somebody else. Which means, where do you have this quasi state that, well, the death will, it's, you're not considered eshetish, but it's naseh. It should be all or nothing. If that is matir, it should be matir legamre. Mm-hmm. And if it's not matir, it should be asur lagam. She should be able to marry anybody else because eshetish. Which means show me, we have a partial stage in halakha. Usually it is what it is. She's married or not married. No, well, if she's married, then she'll be over in aseh if she goes to marry somebody else. But she's not married in eshetish. So where do you have that? So the Gemara says, no, I'll show you. Gemara says, alama lo? Who told you don't have such a quasi-state? Afikta mimita ve'ukimte al-aseh. I can say that she's out of the realm of mita, meaning she's not going to be considered ishet-ish, meaning if she goes with somebody that's chaya mita, but I'll say she's still asura to go with somebody because she'll be over here. I'll say, I can say this quasi-state. How? Midi dehava apesule ha-mukdashim. Okay, take a case. You have something that was Hekdesh. Okay, you don't have to benefit from Hekdesh? We know that, absolutely not. It's called Me'ida. Right, if a person benefits from Hekdesh, even a Shaveh Peruta's worth, it's Hayav. So what happened? You have Pesuleh Mukdashim. You have Hekdesh that, say, became Ba'almum or something like that, right? Teme'ikara itbehu Me'ida. Initially, you don't have to have any Hana'ah from the Hekdesh. Ve'asideh b'giza v'avodah. And also, you're not allowed to benefit from the shearings of it, and you're not allowed to work it. That's asur. Parkinu. Now let's say you redeemed it. You took the kiddushah off the item, and you transferred it to another item. Okay? What's the law? Me'ila litbil. There's no more me'ila on the animal. However, b'giza v'avodah aside. But still, you're not allowed to benefit from its shearings or work. So what do you see? Things can take place quasi. Which means the kiddushah doesn't go off the gamble. It can go off the enyan one item, but the enyan another item, it stays on. So similarly, back to, this is only an analogy to the case of kiddushin. I'll say what? A guy is married, he dies. So I'll say his wife is free le'inyan wife. She's not considered ishet ish. That if she goes with somebody, it can be hayav mita. But she's not free. That if she goes with somebody, she'll be over and aser. Because divorce did not free her. Death did. The Gemara is just showing you the case of Ekdesh to show you it's possible that something can be matir, but not matir legamre. Again, a guy made pigeon on a Ekdesh. Is there mi'ilah anymore? No. But can he benefit? Can he use the shearings? Well, make up your mind. If there's no mi'ilah, why can't he use the shearings? It's quasi. It's mid-stage. So the same thing with the lady. So again, we're struggling to find a source that when the husband dies, she's free. But we thought this was so pasut. What's the she'ilah? The Gemara over here for half a daf cannot conclusively prove to us how do you know the death of the husband is matir. Gemara tries again. Ela medamar kera pen yamut b'melchama v'ish aher yikahena. We have the case, a guy goes to war. So remember we learned that there's certain exemptions from the war? A guy that just got married, let's say, he's exempt, go home. What's the logic? So the Torah says, because we're worried that he's going to die in the war, and somebody else is going to marry her. Oh, so what do you see? Death is matir, the wife, to get married. Obviously, you're talking about a case where it's legal. How does the wife become legal? Husband dies in war. Matkif la Rav Shisha bered Rav Idi ema man aher yavam. Who said maybe that other guy is the yavam? He's going to die in war. They're not going to have children. So the yavam, the yavam is different. We know yavam is mutam. I want you to show me everybody else. Amar Rav Asher bit teshuvot bedavar. If that's your question, I can refute you on the yavam's issue two ways. Hada. The Yavam lo ikri aher. Yavam is not called another guy. Okay, and the Torah doesn't refer to him as aher. Okay? Aher sounds like somebody that was never. But by Yavam, she's connected to the Yavam. It's not aher. There's a connection. Mashiach and the word aher must be talking about everybody else. Ve'od. Then he says like this. Secondly, I'm going to bring you another proof. The Ve'od is different than the first refutation. The first refutation is, I agree with your proof from the war case, but Yavam's not called Acher. Secondly, I got another source to show you that what? Death is Matir. How? Vesane'a ha'ish acharon. Okay, lady got divorced. Usne'a. What happened? Lady got divorced. She got married to somebody else. Okay? Usne'a ha'ish acharon. The second guy also not happy. וכתב לה ספר קליטות. He writes a ספר קליטות. או כי ימות האיש האחרון. Or if the second guy dies. So now the Gemara says, you see, the Torah juxtaposes a divorce and death right next to each other. To teach me, ואתקש מיתה לגירושין. מה גירושין שריה וגומרת, אף מיתה שריה וגומרת. Which means, once the Torah is giving me a situation, she got married, she got divorced, went to a second guy. Second guy also wasn't happy, right? Either he gives her a divorce or he dies. Oh, you're putting these two items together. Must be what? Death and divorce are equal, in the sense that what? Just like divorce is matira to everybody, death the same way. So that she says, look at the bottom that she on the Amud, it kish mita l'girushin. והעד לא יליט ממשמעות תקרא, דכתיב בתרא לא יוכל בעלה הראשון. Which means that she asked a very simple question. What was the context of this pasuk? The second guy now, the guy got divorced from the first husband. She got married to the second husband. What happened? Either the second husband divorced her or he died. The Torah's point is, the first husband cannot take her back. Yeah. You know, that's asur. That a person is not allowed to take back his wife if she got married in the interim to somebody else. So that she says, that's your proof. From the fact that the original husband cannot take her back, mashma, he can't take her back, but everybody else can. Which is, what do you have to give me? Hekesh. Hekesh, mitat, just say from the context of the pasuk itself. The case. What is the case talking about? The husband died, we continue reading the pasuk. Lo yuchal ba'ala rishon, ashuv v'kachta. the original guy cannot take her back. Mashma, he can't take her back, but everybody else can. Why? Because there's death. So death is matir. Wouldn't you need to say kesh, makish, mital, the gedushin? Why couldn't you learn it from the straight the pasuk? So that she answers. Hala hayshari. So I'll come along and say that what? That really she's asura to everybody. Death is not matir to anybody. All the Torah's coming along to say is when the original husband takes her back, he gets an additional lav. He gets an additional isur. Everybody else is just an aseh. But the Torah is coming along to say, lo yuchal, that the original husband gets a lav. So that cannot be the proof.
That was a question we asked before.
Just like we asked him up, which is, just because the Torah says the original husband can't take her back, you want to make a new, or the original, no, but everybody else here, no, I'll say the original is been alive. Everybody else would not say. Oh, so you know what the source is? Hekesh. From the fact that it put Girushin and Mitah together, Ma Mitah, Ma Girushin, Matira Legamre, Af Mitah, Matira Legamre.